Happy February, everybody. It's the first day of February, and regardless of the date, my name's Larry Jacobs, and this is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, which now, as you probably know already, is part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, and all that's over at ACE-ED.org. We work very hard to try to bring about equity in education, try to create a place where the industry, or consortium's industry supported, where the industry and educators get together, figure out great solutions for equity. We're doing just that. Part of the way we do that is by publishing a pretty damn good magazine, which is called Equity and Access, and it's our online journal. And the new issue just came out on Friday, right on time, okay, and you'll enjoy it. It's over there on the website. You'll see the big icon. All you got to do is click through on the cover and enjoy a really good magazine focusing only on equity and access. The new issue is out. Okay, it's at ace-ed.org. We invite you to join with us if you're in education. It's free to all educators. Want your voice heard. All right, all our podcasts are over there, etc. So again, ace-ed.org. And today I got a wonderful show with three superintendents. Congratulations to them because they are three of nearly 20 public school system leaders across the country who just finished a nationally recognized National Superintendent Certification Program from AASA. They're going to graduate on Wednesday, and we've got them here, and we're going to talk about all the wonderful things they learned through this AASA program. Marcus, are you there?
I'm here.
How you doing, Marcus? I'm Larry Jacobs. Marcus,
morning,
pleasure
Larry.
To meet you, sir. Yeah, it's good to have you here. Marcus Alexander is the superintendent of Pembroke Community Consolidated. What is the longest school district in the world? Pembroke Community Consolidated School District in Hopkins Park, Illinois. As usual, Illinois can't get the name of a school district or the number of a school district right. All right, this is far too long. What's the number of the school district, Marcus?
We're district number 259.
There you go. And is it a high school district, elementary? What is it?
No, we're elementary district, pre-K to 8.
There you go. Welcome to Illinois, everybody. Marcus, congratulations. Laura, are you there?
I am here. Good morning.
Good morning. Call me Larry, please. Laura De La Cruz is the superintendent all the way across the country from me. I'm in Maine. She's in Lake Oswego, Oregon. Congratulations, Laura.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. And thanks also for getting up and doing this at 7:30 in the morning. Your time. Thank you. Okay.
You
much appreciated. Okay. And by the way, I know Marcus had snow yesterday, right, Marcus?
Did you? Still snowed in.
There you go. We're getting it today. But we're getting your storm and a storm from the south here in Maine, and they are supposed to meet exactly over my house around 3 o'clock this afternoon. So that's where it's going to happen. Okay.
Enjoy.
As we always do. Thanks a lot. Eric, are you there?
I am, yes. Thank you.
Hi, Eric. How do you pronounce your last name?
Kep.
Kep, thank you, K-O-E-P. Eric Kep is the superintendent, and you're going to tell me where this is, of the Bertha Hewitt, that's dash, Bertha-Hewitt, Independent School District, and I assume that's representing both Bertha and Hewitt, Minnesota. But where are those towns located?
Yeah, we are about 3 hours north of Minneapolis-St. Paul, small school district, about 600 kids, pre-K through 12.
Wow, 3 hours north. Are you right at the top of the state?
No, we're still about 4 hours from the border. So,
oh man,
we are. I would say we're about an hour east of Fargo, North Dakota, as well.
You betcha. Do I have to do that? I'm not going to do that.
You bet.
Okay, for Fargo. there you go. Do you have the Fargo accent? I'm not hearing it.
Not so much.
Okay, good. There you go, a little bit there. Eric, welcome to the show. And congratulations to all three of you. That's just great. It's an 18-month, this is great from AASA, good to be congratulated. An 18-month rigorous program, and you're 2 days away from graduating. Let's not have a snow day. I'm going to ask Laura. Laura, what happens with the graduation? Because obviously you're not traveling there. What's going to happen with it? Laura.
Well, we are all virtual, of course. And so on our third day together this week, we're going to have an opportunity to celebrate each other and be acknowledged. And we were invited to share the link to invite our family if they'd like to be part of the celebration as well.
And, well, what made you do this, Marcus? I'll ask Marcus. How come you went to the certification program? Because you obviously
sure.
you have a degree. You have a degree in administration, obviously, or something, maybe
uh-huh.
a doctorate even, for all I know. And you're well-trained, obviously. You're a smart guy. How come you went to this thing? 18 months. That's a long time.
Well, here's the reality. We all went to school for our administrative credentials and to be superintendents. But in reality, what you experience in a day-to-day world of a superintendent, nobody could teach you that in a classroom. And it's not published in a textbook. So I wanted to do the program because I wanted a mentor. I wanted a guide. I did the program as a first-year superintendent. And unlike some of my colleagues, I was not offered a mentor or a real big support system. And the reality is that you need somebody to help you to guide this process. So AASA was a program that came highly recommended to me from some of my colleagues who had done it before. And they told me that if you really are serious about the work of children and improving school districts, then you want to involve yourself with some of the brightest superintendents across the country. So I chose this program because I wanted to learn from multiple perspectives, and I wanted to be able to have someone I could call on when I was in a bind
yep.
and I needed help.
Yep, and good for you for knowing what you know, for knowing what to do when you know what you don't know, and that's key stuff, man.
Yep.
That's really important. And I forgot to ask you, describe Hopkins Park. What's the school district? K-8, I know that.
Say that again. I didn't hear your question.
Describe the school district in terms of demographics and location.
Sure. So Hopkins Park is a rural community. We're one of the only African-American farm communities in the state of Illinois. Located
cool.
about 70 miles east, south of Chicago and just east of the Indiana border. We are a population of predominantly African-American and Latino students. In a rural environment. So that brings a whole different gamut of challenges for us.
It sure does. It's so interesting. What were the roots of the community that brought that about? That's a very interesting demographic.
So many of the African Americans in the community migrated to that area from the South. So
yep.
when they were leaving Mississippi and Arkansas in that area, they came up and they settled in Hopkins Park. And the larger community, Pembroke Township, it's an amazing place for agriculture. They grow everything from corn to cotton to blueberries, you know. So it's an amazing place geographically in Illinois. So that's why they settled there.
That is absolutely fascinating. The Light of Other Suns, if I may, that wonderful book. Okay, and the migration from the South and until settled. Most people came up to work in the urban areas. Okay, because
mm-hmm.
there were jobs there, et cetera. But the rural is so fascinating. Congratulations on being in such a unique place. That's really cool.
Thank you.
Okay. What's the name of the high school? There must be a high school district right there.
So there's my students feed into St. Anne High School. That's about 10 miles away.
St. Anne? Is that correct? Did you say that?
St. Anne. Uh-huh. St. Anne
High
School.
Is that a Catholic school,
yeah.
or public school?
No, it's public. It's in St. Anne, Illinois.
Ah, thank you. Okay, thank you very much for clearing that up. Marcus, best of luck in your first year. And, again, knowing what you don't know and having the gumption to ask and find out is such a great trait, so I congratulate you on knowing that. Okay? Let's stick with winter for a second, and I'm sure it's winter in Bertha, Minnesota. Right, Eric?
Yeah, I got 18 degrees this morning. It's a little above average, so I'll take it.
Well, I got news for you. If it were 18 degrees here in Maine today, I'd say thank you very much. It's about 2 degrees here today. Okay, it's
yep.
unbelievable. Your district, you said, is about 6,000 kids?
Let's go with 600 kids. 600 kids,
God.
Pre-K
Pardon
through
me.
12, small school district.
I remembered the six. I got the zeros mixed up there. I apologize for that. Okay, so you got 600 kids, all right, in a small district. What made you, again, how many years have you been superintendent? Okay.
This is starting my seventh year at Bertha Hewitton. This was my first superintendency.
Wow. Congratulations on all that. What made you go to the AASA Superintendent Certification Program?
Yeah, kind of similar to Marcus. I started as in my fifth year. I decided I wanted to just better myself, just be a model to our students and staff about the importance of being a lifelong learner. And, man, it's pretty amazing to be in a room with 8 to 10 or, 20 superintendents from 8 to 10 different states. The conversations that we have only make all of us better. So AASA is a great program.
Oh, yeah.
And
it is
just a great experience.
That is super. And again, congratulations for doing that. You must know the superintendents around you, okay, Eric? Okay, and I'm sure you've been somewhat dependent on them, depending how long their tenure is, et cetera, okay? But you saw enough to reach out to a larger group. Explain that. Are you working a lot with local superintendents as well with your friends and colleagues in the other district?
Yeah, so we have I'm hosting a meeting here this coming Friday with 12 local superintendents. So we rotate every first Friday of the month, and we make breakfast for everybody. But just the innovative idea of going outside the box and, meeting with 20 superintendents from across the country was very intriguing. I'll just be honest, throughout this pandemic, it's been even more valuable too.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the superintendents faced different parts of the pandemic before the rest of us. So to see how they handled it, it was a very valuable experience.
Yeah, and it's a tough year. And who knew when you all became superintendents that this was going to happen and the work you'd have to do. Now I'm going to swing over to the rose amongst the thorns, Laura De La Cruz. Right, Laura?
Yes.
Right, there you
course.
Go. That, you can't beat that for an introduction, am I correct?
I cannot beat that.
There
and
you
I,
go.
I agree so much with what my colleagues have said. I'm in a district of 7,000 students, kindergarten through 12th grade, and we are just literally down the street from Portland, Oregon. My house is about 3 miles from Portland. And the reason that I joined this program is I really have experienced it as sort of action research. It's an opportunity to have direct access to some real powerhouse mentors who are seasoned, wise, current and past superintendents who lead the program.
Yep.
But also to connect with our, colleagues, just as my colleagues here have said, across the nation, who are experiencing similar challenges early in our superintendency, so that we can learn from not only these incredible mentors, but also from each other. And we've been delivered leading edge, high quality, guiding materials to sharpen our skill set and our tool set and our mindset. And especially this year, as Marcus and Eric said, this has been such an incredibly challenging year. And in fact, my district was the first school district in the nation to have a case of COVID in our school district.
Oh, my
and
God.
It really
wow.
helped to have a mentor to be able to call and say, oh, my gosh, this is what's happening. Can you give me a few guideposts and to take it from there? But also all of the challenges we've all experienced during this year of a pandemic, to have the conversations to strengthen each other and ourselves throughout this time has been incredible.
It's a good point, strengthening yourselves. You work hard for the kids and for your faculty and staff, but you need the support for yourselves. And as the leaders of your district, although I'm sure everybody that you work with is supportive of your work, okay, they still work for you. Okay, although you work together, but you know what I mean. And it's so good to have people on the same level just to reach out to, et cetera. Interesting question, though. And by the way, 7,000 kids, so you are basically an urban district right outside of Portland, right? Can we describe it that way?
We're a suburban district outside of Portland.
Okay.
And in many ways, we replicate, any other suburban district. But what's happening here, which is exciting and brings its own challenges, is that this district and this community are diversifying. We have, Nike and Intel and Adidas in our backyard, and that brings more of an international flavor to our community, which is wonderful. So we have some learning and growing to do together, and I feel honored to lead that.
You do. And my best friend here 2 years ago, one of my best friends here, is the director of architecture for Nike. He moved from here to the other Portland and where you are, okay, to become that.
Yes.
Okay, so he works for Nike, environmental architecture, whatever the heck he runs over there. And that's your area. That's Lake Oswego. That's really interesting. Okay, I have to ask you, the three districts you guys manage are very different. Marcus runs a small African-American rural community. Eric, how would you describe the demo of Bertha?
Rural, with very small farm communities around here, big farm families. 60% of our population qualifies for free and reduced lunch. So fairly high poverty as well. Just a small community in central Minnesota.
And is it mostly Caucasian?
I would say 99%.
Yeah, okay. And that where I live, it's very similar here, too, in rural Maine. Okay, so my question is, okay, and Laura is, of course, Latino. De La Cruz is her last name. Okay, so you take all of these things, Marcus, Laura, and Eric. You take three very different districts, and somehow AASA has to put together a program that helps certify superintendents for all these three districts. Okay, so as you think through this, and Eric, I'll stick with you for a second. Eric, okay, how did they manage that? Were the problems, the challenges the same as you talked to your fellow superintendents district to district?
Yeah, I think they did a good job looking at the dynamics of all of our school districts and putting together a program that is going to benefit all of us. Once they put together the topic or discussions, we just go off each other and, build upon our experiences and talk about what we went through and give guidance to each other. We were all assigned a mentor through AASA, and that is one of the, I think we've kind of mentioned, one of the biggest positives that we have had is to be able to call somebody who's gone through all of the gamuts and different issues.
Oh, yeah.
But they did a good job. One thing I will take from is personally is they – it's a lonely job at the top, so to be able to share our issues and concerns and talk about it confidentially was very important and very valuable.
Yeah, well, what's the key issue that would affect you guys as opposed to just the key issue that would affect Bertha, Minnesota?
Key issue. I think, in small schools around here, declining enrollment is an issue, and that's where I try to think outside the box and learn from other people, and in this case, in different states, try to find new innovative ideas to improve our atmosphere here, improve our programs, and get some more kids back in our building, and we have done that over the last couple of years, so it's good.
Good for you, Marcus. What's the major thing at Hopkins Park, the first thing that pops to mind these days?
I think I would agree with Eric when you talk about declining enrollment. And so every student comes with a value as far as state and federal funding. And so when your enrollment declines, so does your district's financial capabilities. So that's been one of my biggest challenges. And it really requires you to rethink what education looks like. And you rethink how you're spending money and things of that nature. So even with a quickly declining enrollment, we've been able to maximize the monies that we bring in and even looking for new sources of revenue through grants and things of that nature.
It's interesting. You both have the same challenge. Again, it's the challenge of a smaller district. Laura, what's the big concern in Lake Oswego?
I would say that one of the biggest issues that we are working with is race relations. And what I've learned about, I was recruited here from Colorado, where I spent most of my career, and I was up for an adventure. So my husband and I moved here, and what we learned about Oregon is that it has a history of being exclusionary toward people of color. It was built as a free state, but within its constitution, essentially, is a whites-only exclusionary clause. And I learned that after moving here. And the state is trying really hard to move past that, but there is historical wounding that is deep and painful, and that shows up here in Lake Oswego as well. And so I was brought here to lead for equity because my career has been really centered in equity, and we were doing really good work. But what I'm learning to work with is that, that deep historical wounding that no program or particular lesson or approach can pierce and penetrate. What it really requires is deep listening and the willingness to reach out, you know, in effort to heal and continue the efforts. And so that's, those are the big issues, I think, that are really paramount here.
And what you just told me about Oregon is absolutely unbelievable. Okay, I had no idea any of that. It must have been moving there. It must have been really unbelievable to you. Okay.
It was a lot of new learning for sure. When I got here.
That's just amazing. And you know, you bring up racism. I mean, as Ken Burns always says, it all boils down to race. And no matter what question we're talking about, okay. And I live in very rural Maine. All right, and it's either 99.9 or 100% Caucasian around here. Okay, all right, that's simple. All right, but I'm going to ask Eric. Okay, Eric, in Bertha, Minnesota, these kids are going to go out into a wider world, and the same thing when I ask Marcus, your kids are going to go out into a wider world. All right, Eric, was racial and social justice and that kind of thing coming up at the superintendent's meeting?
Yeah, you know, it is a challenge to prepare our students for that life. They don't see that a lot out here. But, you know, just talking with these other superintendents and what they face, trying to bring that to my staff and staff meetings and to teach our kids about equity and opportunities and what they will face, hearing from these colleagues, especially like Marcus and a couple other individuals that have shared stuff in their districts and our classes, it's helped me prepare our staff to help our kids understand what they're going to face as they leave Bertha, Minnesota.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing, and we run through it here too. Okay, and it has to be talked about and faced. It's very difficult, especially in these political times. What are you finding on that? And how did the seminar certificate? How did your certificate program work out with that, Marcus? Did that come up at all?
You know what? I think it came up quite often, almost in every conversation.
Wow!
Because you have to call a spade, right? I can't teach a kid or I can't expect a kid to learn if they don't feel safe, if they don't feel secure, if they don't feel wanted. And the whole race thing, that's huge. You know, if a kid does not believe that you have their best interest at heart, then they won't learn from you and they won't be receptive. So we have to address that from the beginning. And throughout our program, every superintendent has had some level of interaction with it, be it from having a majority of your students who are a minority who might feel the impact of this, or to having a majority of your staff who are of the majority who really don't know how to respond.
Yeah.
So we've talked about it a lot, and I think the beauty of the program is that regardless of where you are, big city, small city, urban, rural, the job is the same. It's how you apply it to different situations that makes it unique. So everybody has been able to really, you know, add something to the pot, and you learn from that. So that's the greatest piece to me.
Yeah, it is. And you know, as different as the school districts are, there is so much commonality in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's just astounding. And the commonality is the good thing. Okay, and if we could just all recognize that, if I may, I sound like a politician, we're all kind of in this together with the same challenges, okay? And I'm not running for office, everybody, okay? We could really move all this stuff forward. It's really just that simple, okay? It really is. Real-life situation. Wait, did you have to bring one up, Laura? That seems to be one of the things the certification program focused on. Did you have to bring up a real-life situation that you faced?
We did, and we had opportunities to share real-life situations and kind of a case study almost or a problem of practice. And I'll never forget the end of January, beginning of February was the last time we all came together at the AASA conference in San Diego. And the hot topic in my district then was gender-neutral bathrooms. And just lots of varying perspectives and anger and frustration and consternation in my community about a brand new beautiful building that we have built with gender-neutral bathrooms. And I remember sitting, you know, at the front of the room and presenting this problem of practice and how to engage our community in ways that would support building understanding, and having my colleagues from this cohort sharing, you know, ideas with me, asking clarifying questions.
Yep.
And providing suggestions for ways to move forward that we did implement, and however, got really swept aside with COVID pretty soon after that.
Yeah, well, yeah, for COVID aside, the challenge will exist before and after COVID. That's interesting, okay? And something seemingly so simple can cause any kind of challenges at all. Marcus, what was the real-life situation you brought up, okay, with your fellow superintendents from Hopkins Park?
What did not bring up is a better question. But, no, I truly think COVID was probably one of my biggest challenges. And being able to just bounce ideas off of different superintendents, and I'll be the first to tell you I'm not that creative, so I need a lot of help in this innovation area. I'm an accountant by trade, so I think very straight up and down. But really being in the presence of this group of superintendent was amazing, to the point where, you know, I could say, hey, I'm dealing with this issue, and within 20 minutes, somebody's sending me a PowerPoint that they used, or they're sending me a letter that they sent out that I can adapt for my community. We've had incidents where I was dealing with a community issue, and being a small district, I don't have a huge team. And one of the superintendents said, hey, I'm going to have my PR person reach out to you.
Oh, that's good.
And kind of help you craft some language. And
that's
so
good.
The National Superintendent Certification Program to me was more about A, understanding what you know, B, understanding what you need to know in order to be successful, and then C, being able to learn from people all over the place who may look like you, who may have district with similar demographics than you, who may be.
Yeah.
I remember when we met Laura, I think she was starting her superintendency in the next week or two, but we have some people in our cohort who've been superintendents 10-plus years.
Yep.
So, it's just an amazing experience to learn from people from across the gamut.
Yeah. And I'll stay with you for a second before I go to Eric. Marcus, what have you implemented from the program, okay, that's really helped you and made a difference, if I may, in the school district? Have you implemented anything?
Sure.
Yeah.
I have. So the program requires you to pick a project to follow and to track throughout the two-year program. And so one of the things that I did, I was in my first year as a superintendent, so we didn't really have a focus and a plan. So I worked with my Board of Education and local stakeholders to create a strategic plan. And so throughout creating this plan, I always had a sounding board. So I could reach out to my mentor and to my colleagues in the program and say, okay, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I want to do. This is a challenge I'm having. And then they were able to give me some really meaningful feedback on how to address the situation. And the impact, so now I'm coming towards the end of my third year. Our strategic plan has been in place really for 2 years now. I see a drastic difference in the operations of my district.
There you go.
Everybody has a focus. Everybody is focused on the same thing. We're all working to a common goal.
There you go,
so,
man.
I truly appreciate the push from AASA to create this plan because I don't know if I would have had the support or even the drive to get it done on my own. It's hard work, and it's not easy. A lot of people are against you in this type of thing. So
yep.
AA really pushed me and gave me the confidence that I could get this done.
Yep. Even if I may, people are against you, even with something like gender-neutral bathrooms. Okay, something you would think would be no aggravation at all, and boom, before you know it, people are against you. And, you know, you just summed up the whole reason for these associations. You got people you can depend on, people who can give you ideas, et cetera. Eric, what have you implemented over in Bertha?
Yeah, okay. Looking at the opportunities of a small school district, we can't give our kids opportunities like a big school like Laura, but I was trying to implement an entrepreneurial program when I started AASA and just learning from the people, talking about problem solutions that they may have faced in their school district, and we have developed that program. We actually – Have won an award in the last 12 months for this entrepreneur program called Next Gen Bears. It's
cool.
An incredible program. Our kids make, ship, sell products across the United States. I think last week they told me they've shipped to 21 states since the beginning of the school year. But it just helped from hearing from our colleagues in this program on things that they have tried in their school, what went well, and suggestions, and it really helped. I mean, as you talk about across the country, I mean, we have people in this cohort from Alaska, Texas, Oklahoma, Oregon, Chicago. I mean, it's Minnesota. It's pretty impressive the plethora of knowledge that is brought into this room, and it's good information.
And what is the size of a graduating class like in June? What was the size of a typical graduating class?
About 40 kids. 40
okay,
to 45.
Here's my suggestion. Take this to heart. You will be the first superintendent to have every kid make $300,000 a year. 3 years after they graduate, tell them all to become plumbers.
That's exactly right. Plumbers, electricians,
okay.
We need all
there
that
you
around
go.
Here.
There you
correct.
Go. Okay, that's all there is to it. Laura, what have you implemented, okay, over there?
I agree that the capstone project pushed me to complete something with my team that was really important to our district that was missing, and that was a literacy and dyslexia plan. I'm so glad we did that.
Oh, cool.
However, there was another piece of this that was really helpful to me because throughout all of the craziness of this year, we were also creating a new 5-year strategic plan. And I'm having, back in November, having Dr. Pat Greco present us with, you know, the involvement of the superintendent in the role of the superintendent in school and system improvement. And within that was a lot of rich, high-quality information about developing a strategic plan and a balanced scorecard. And it came at just the right time in the work that we were doing in my district. So I was able to apply it right away, right after that session. And I think that happened all throughout the year, but that's one that really, or the 18 months, but that's one that really stands out for me is having that real time support and learning about the implementation of a new strategic plan as I was doing it.
Wow. You know, it's just, you guys are amazing, okay, for what you're doing, because you're thinking beyond and around and through the COVID thing. We've all got to deal with this COVID crisis. It's just a mess. And who knew this when you all decided to go into education? Okay, I just congratulate you all. Do you feel like I don't know how to ask this? Do you feel like it's changed you at all professionally, Laura? Do you feel different with the program?
Oh, I think it's strengthened me tremendously and has grounded me in, you know, leading edge knowledge and the experience of others and best practices. And I think most importantly has created what I predict will be a long lasting network of friends and colleagues across the country. And just the way that we share, you know, plans and thinking with each other is so powerful.
Right. It's so good. By the way, who was your mentor? Do you have just one mentor? Who's your mentor?
My mentor is Lupita Hightower, and it was really meaningful, not necessary, but super meaningful to have another Latina who's a seasoned superintendent to be my mentor and go-to because we had specific nuances that we could connect around.
Cool. And that's an interesting statement right there. Marcus, what about you? Who was your mentor?
My mentor is Dr. Amy Satchel. She's the retired superintendent out of Abington, Pennsylvania. And she's the director of the National Superintendent Program, the certification program.
I'll tell you something funny about Amy, okay? I was just in touch with her last week. She's in Abington, which is – I used to teach in Cheltenham, which is the neighboring school district of Pennsylvania, okay? And I was just in touch with Amy. Her last name is pronounced Sickle, and I taught, okay, her brother-in-law, Gordy, okay? I taught him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's cool, and I missed her husband Buzz because I think he's older. Okay, but there you go. Okay, so I know Amy, and she's just a great superintendent. She really is just a great person in education. And I meant to ask you, Marcus. You said you were an accountant. Am I correct?
Yes, by trade, I was an accountant before.
What the hell
education.
Got you into education? Were you to become a math teacher?
No. So I came into education. I was a military finance officer, and I came into education to do school finance and business. So I've done that. I'm a licensed school finance officer, state of Illinois and internationally. And so my path to education was a little different than some people. So, yeah, I came in to do school finance, starting Chicago Public Schools. And I wanted to move up in education, but I needed to understand what was really going on outside of the business world. So that's when I moved into the instructional side and became a principal, assistant principal.
Wow.
I was over instruction for the district. And so, yeah, my career has been
there
a little bit
are.
Different, but it allows me to see the world from a different vantage point.
Exactly.
And I think that makes me the superintendent I am today.
Man, congratulations on that. That's really interesting. Eric, okay, who was your mentor?
Yeah, very blessed to have Dr. Nick Clement as my mentor. He's out of the Northern Arizona University. He currently works there. But what I did want to mention is, you know, I think this AAS has probably had several cohorts. I think you won't find one that is more close than we are. Just obviously we fought COVID together. If you were to get a hold of one of our email threads that probably go every single week with new ideas, just a very, very close-knit group. Unfortunately, we did lose a mentor during this process. We lost one of the mentors, Ruben. He passed away during our cohort, and then my mentor,
Good
Nick,
Lord.
Actually had a heart attack during this as well. So those two things really brought our group closer together than I think any ASA group. So.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that type of stuff. I'm going to leave you with this word of advice. If the three of you ever get together, Laura, remember Eric and Marcus are in Minnesota and Illinois, right? Laura?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Don't visit them in January or February or March.
Noted.
Okay, just so you know, no matter how good the invitation seems, don't go until the springtime. Got it?
I got it.
You three are terrific. Congratulations, okay, at graduating, okay, on Wednesday from the AASA National Superintendents Certification Program. Congratulations, guys. 18 months, you deserve a lot of kudos. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work. I'll talk to you again soon, I hope. Thanks a million. Bye-bye.
Take care, Larry.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you all. Okay, what great people. Okay, I got to tell you, Marcus Alexander from Hopkins Park, Illinois, Laura De La Cruz from Lake Oswego School District in Lake Oswego, Oregon, and Eric Kep, who's the superintendent in Bertha Hewitt, with a dash in between, Independent School District in Bertha, Minnesota, 3 hours north of the Twin Cities. Well, okay, and I thought I was rural here in Maine, in Cornish, Maine. All right, we'll archive the show at ace-ed.org. Over there, you can join with us for Equity. Check out our new issue of the magazine, Equity and Access, over there. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.